Pretty good week for everybody. Thank you for coming here today. We're going to start today with this handout we have. I'm going to give you mine. I'll see if I can suffer through. But anyway, I'll have to suffer through. I may have to go find a sheet.
Okay.
Ready? Here we go. Here I am to worship. I am a word. Here stand you. Open my eyes. Let me see. Timing's an issue with that song. Eventually, we're going to get it learned, right? Okay, let's pray anyway. Here we go. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the beautiful day. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to come here to your house today. Thanks for those that showed up. Lord, there's still some folks that are ill, maybe traveling, Lord, we don't know. I just ask you to be with them all. Lord, if they're sick, then get them well and get them back here. And traveling, Lord, just get them here safely. Thanks, Lord, for this time again. Pray for our nation, Lord. Thank you so much for it, the many freedoms that we enjoy, Lord. We know everything's under attack, Lord, but you're in control, Lord. Help us to put all our worries on you, Lord, because you're going to take care of us, Lord, and you're going to see us through. Thank you for the opportunity to come here, Lord, to go into your word again with our pastor. Guide and direct pastor today, Lord. Give him the strength he needs to deliver your message today. And I pray, Lord, that someone here needs you in any way, Lord, that person get it right before they leave the building today. Lord, just help us have a good time as we fellowship together with one another. Spread a little Christian love here, Lord. Be it a handshake, a hug, just a smile, Lord. Sometimes is all a person needs. Help us to know and remember that always. Thank you again for this time, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah. You may be seated. Let's see. How about 656, please? 656. There's a call coming over the restless waves, send the light, there are souls to rescue, there are souls to save, send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine for from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine forevermore. We have heard the Macedonian call today. Send the light, send the light. And a golden offering at the cross we lay. Send the light, send the light. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore.
Sing the last.
Let us not grow weary in the work of love. Send the light, send the light. Let us gather jewels for a crown above. Send the light, send the light. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine forevermore.
Thank you. Let's see. Tonight at 6 o'clock, we have evening service scheduled. Don't miss out on that, folks. Part 3 of Forgiveness and Reconciliation. Women's Bible Study on the 25th this month. If you got old pictures, preferably none of me, on the 6th, our 60th anniversary of our church, we're going to celebrate next weekend, Lord willing. We'll have dinner, cake, pictures, next week. Fellowship, end of the month, kitchen team is Kay, Sharon, Ginger, and Faith. I just mentioned the cake. Next fellowship is in July. The kitchen team is Sandra and Marilyn Howard. Children's message, end of the month then. I think that's today, too. But Pastor stopped for this week, and this is a good one, folks. The condition of a nation is precluded by the condition of its churches. Guys, you come forward. We'll take up the morning offering. Let's pray. Father, we have another opportunity here to give just a small portion back to you. I pray, Lord, that you'd bless our church, Lord, with what we do. Help us to remember, Lord, that a lot of what we do depends on what's given back to you, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that you'd be with us this morning also as Pastor preaches, guide and direct there in our hearts, Lord, as we consider. Thank you for this time, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, ladies. Let's see. Kay is going to play for us. Thank you. You okay? Well, you got ready?
I guess. I had hoped that my voice would be able to sing today, and it's not. So I wonder if you would mind if I read the words of the song.
Sure.
I was going to sing. It's called Speak the Truth in Love. I believe Pastor said that last Sunday. Didn't you?
Said it a lot.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see if I can. Okay. Do we really know the power in the little things we say? A word can break a tender heart, and make somebody's day. See what I'm doing here. Speak the word, but let your thoughts be always on the Lord. Your voice can be the echo of his word. Speak the truth in love. Let every word that comes from you be sent from above. Gentle words of love can reach the hearts that nothing else can touch. Speak the truth. Speak the truth in love. There are walls of silence built around the hearts that long to hear. One word of hope can open doors, be music to their ears. Speak a word of gentleness, that's all you have to do. Somebody longs to hear right now from you. Speak the truth in love, let every word that comes from you be sent from above. Gentle words of love can reach the hearts that nothing else can touch. Speak the truth in love.
Amen. Thank you, Kay. Yeah. Jaden, have you got that down just a little? Thank you. Anyway, Kay, that is a great, you could just leave it right there for the message today. That's not the message that I was chose to do that God gave me today, but the fact of the matter is our words are weighty, and our words can do a lot of, you know, the book of James and other places in scripture tell us that, but we need to be very careful with our words, and I say that to myself first, and I am not trying to get excuses here or anything, but pray for me, because I'm up here having to use a lot of words, and I don't always get all the words with the right attitude that I should. And you all know that. And I believe we all have that very thing. But if we'll use that, what Kay brought this morning from the Word, Ephesians 4:15, speaking truth, we have to speak truth, but we also need to season it with genuine love. It can't be fake. Anyway, greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus. We've had a little bit of chaos and confusion this morning. Well, that's pretty common for me. That's how most of my life has been. Controlled chaos is what I like to describe the farm with. But today we have another good opportunity to look into the Word of God. In our high school class, junior high class this morning, we were looking at the last chapter of the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 12, about wisdom and about God's preservation of His Word, which He has done mightily. First of all, through the authors of the 66 books, but also through the years as God has superintended over their preservation. And as I mentioned this morning in that class, the end of the book of Daniel today is plainer than it was even 50 years ago. Some things that were not possible 100 years ago are now possible today. We know that God is unfolding His plan for mankind, and He has preserved His Word. Praise God! This book that we have in front of us here is not to be taken lightly. It should not be gathering dust, but it should be in the foremost of our thinking. Daniel was told there by God, wisdom, the wisdom that comes from His Word is so important. Otherwise, we will be lost, and many people's souls will end up for eternity in the lake of fire because they did not listen, they did not become wise. The Word of God is what will make us wise. You may have all kinds of degrees in different types of academia and fields of study, but if you don't know the wisdom of the Word of God, you are doomed. And it's so important today. And that's why we meet today. I greet you, though, in the Lord's name, hopefully in love. We're going to pray here in just a minute. The title of our message is Part 2 of Recovery of the Injured and Unhealthy Church. And we began that last week. I'll give a brief recap. We actually have a lot of time, but you know, when I'm up here, that time goes fast. But before we take a step further, we need to pray and bring our time today before the Lord. I ask that you would pray for me. As I bring this word, it is a very weighty responsibility and one that I do not take lightly. So let's bow for a few moments of silence as we adjust our hearts. Again, welcome to one and all. We're glad if you're visiting, whether you've been here for 80 plus years, we're thankful for you. Well, you couldn't have been in this building for 80 plus years, nor the church technically, but if you've been here as a lifer, we'll say that. See what I mean about words? I already got myself in trouble, Elaine. We haven't even got out of the starting gates this morning. But let's take a few moments to focus on the Lord and worship. And again, letting Him know that He is worthy. And then I'll have a pastoral prayer and we'll hit the ground running. Lord God, as we come to You on this morning in the spring of Your year, 2023, as we look into Your face today, Father, through the Word who is Your Son, Jesus, and through Your written Word, we see a picture of You, O Lord, and that is a picture, once again, that displays two characters in particular. One is a God of love who loves us dearly. Both of these are true. But we also see a God of righteousness and a God who is worthy to judge and a God who has worthy cause to have wrath for the plight of man, which is called sin. We know, Lord, the summation of Your wrath because You took it out on Your Son Jesus on the cross. You actually turned Your back as He hung there for the sins of the world and paid the price. You could not look upon sin as He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in or through Him. That's the gravity of this today, Lord. When we really get this and understand it, when the Spirit drives it home to us, we say, oh Lord, like the tax collector did. He beat on his chest and said, I'm not worthy. But we thank You today that You are worthy and that You saw fit to love us. Lord, we are sinners. I pray today that everyone in this room is saved by grace. But that may not be the case, Lord, but that is offered yet once again. And Lord, as we think of Your worthiness and our worship toward You, we think also, Jesus, of Your precious church. That's the ones that have been bought by Your blood, that have received that. They've been called out, the ecclesia of God. This is not to be taken lightly when we gather here today, Lord, or any other time. Or when we gather with another Christian, where two or more are gathered, there You are with us. This is big stuff, Lord. Forgive me, Lord, for my unworthiness, even as one who's been declared righteous. Lord, our sin in the flesh often rule where the Spirit and the Word should. Now we thank You today, Lord, for everyone that's come out. And Lord, we know that we have several of our number that are gone today. We have a community right outside of our doors here, Lord, that needs You in many cases. Lord, we live in a world of chaos and turmoil. We live in a place where it seems that Satan has free reign. And yet we know, Lord, it is just Your grace that waits for people to receive You. Lord, we know that His doom was made sure at Calvary's cross. But yet He has activities, Lord, as His days draw short, that will take our breath away, Lord, of the things that may happen. Lord, preserve us, I pray, for Your use. Again, we know there are people that are grieving, there are people that are ill. Lord, there are just many things that work in the lives, even of the believers, that may have caused them to be unable to come today. But we ask, Lord, that You'd speak to their hearts through the Word. We have wonderful things today, recorded messages. There's no excuse, Lord. It's all available. What a blessing it's been. Your goodness is so apparent. Help us, Lord, not to squander another moment. Now, Lord, as I bring this message today, I pray You'll guide my heart and my lips. And Lord, You know I am weak and frail and in my flesh and humanity, but I pray, Lord, there will be some benefit to the people here today and myself through the teaching and preaching of the Word. And we give this time to You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I declare this and every Sunday, another day where some of the things I have to say may cause you to want to take offense. Anyway, I'm going to give a brief recap about this morning, but I believe with all my heart that most churches today are injured and most are unhealthy. There may be a few, and we've looked at one example already last week of Smyrna, who the Lord had no condemnation for. By the way, if you turn in your devices or your paper Bibles, Revelation chapter 2 this morning, the revelation of Jesus Christ, the unveiling, the apocalypso, Jesus is setting the stage for the days of unwinding of time as we know it. And he's talking to seven churches of Asia Minor. I won't go back through all this history. I think it's on record. I don't remember if I don't think I listened to it. I don't always get that accomplished every week. But today, we're going to be talking about some of these ebbs and flows in churches. And I'm not here today to say what the spiritual temperature of Fruitland is, even though I have some thoughts on that that I would even share with you privately. But what I would offer today is, what do you think the spiritual temperature here at Fruitland Baptist Church is? And as we look at these seven churches, do you see any things in the ebb and flow of the days of the church, which I believe are drawing to a close here, probably in early time, earlier than later? The church age has lasted now a little over 1,900 years since Pentecost began, and no one here today would disagree that it has not had its ups and downs, right? Even Fruitland Baptist Church has its ups and downs. Even as it anticipates a year of a celebration of the 60th year of its organized existence, and it existed for several years before that in the work of a church plant here in the potato shed downtown here. There's a great history here at Fruitland. Fruitland has humble beginnings. It was not started as a grandiose building or things like that, but it has had a grandiose history and still does. And today, we just have to understand this. We always should be in a state of improvement. We never can sit back on our laurels because, as I've said many times, if we're not moving forward, we're moving backward. And that's the way it is. So there's always plenty that needs done here. And hopefully as we look at these churches, it will give us some correction and admonishment and encouragement. As we look at Smyrna and Philadelphia in particular, that there were no condemnations given to, and yet Jesus said, keep listening and repent of the things that are not correct. Anyway, today we're going to begin with the church at Pergamos, the third church. It's found in Revelation 2, 12 through 17. But let me just recap briefly here where we've been, very briefly. And the first point about all of this, and you can jot it down if you weren't here or listen to it, is, does Jesus have your or our attention? And he got the attention of the Apostle John on Patmos Island. Folks, we need to pay attention to Jesus to have recovery and to heal. And that's exactly right. Every church needs to have Jesus' attention. You know, it's not about the temporal. It's not about a building or a grounds or it's about the people, the souls. It's about the eternal. And those are things that we must always keep in mind. But if you read Revelation 1, verses 9 through 20, Jesus will get your attention if you look him face to face. And what John saw in that vision there on Patmos Island put John on his face, because he recognized that Jesus needs to be the center of attention. The center of attention in the church. Briefly, we started to go. And this is the point two that has 7 points. The remedies for the seven churches' injuries and ill health. And we saw there the church at Ephesus, the Apostle John's home church. And we looked at the church at Smyrna. And we know that we examined the corrective actions and also the condemnations or the encouragement in the case of Smyrna that it had. It was a church that was under severe persecution. Folks, you want to see the real church thrive and excel, it'll only happen when there's persecution. Or people have a zeal for Christ. That's the church at Philadelphia. We'll get to that hopefully here this morning. But the church ebbs and flows over time. What will be the future of Fruitland Baptist Church? Let me say today, I'm not negative on it. In fact, in some ways, I'm more positive than I've been on it in a long time. And I think there's great hope and great possibilities for this work at Fruitland if Jesus is the center of it. Well, that takes us to the third church today. It's the church at Pergamos. Now, I'm not going to go into extensive things today. You can study that, and probably many of you know a lot more than I do about it. But the church at Pergamos was a church that was centered at the seat of idolatry. And folks, idolatry has always been with mankind. We visited yesterday in our men's Bible study about that. Human beings that have fallen, the fallen race of man, is a religious bunch of people. And you're saying, John, you're crazy. I don't see that. Well, let me tell you something, folks. I don't believe in the term atheist. I've had many people tell me they're atheist or refer to someone that's atheist. I'll admit they may not subscribe or ascribe to the God of the Bible, but I'll tell you what, folks, today, there is not one person in this room that does not, if you don't have the God of the Bible as first in your life, you have a God of something that's in your life today. And it'll circle around gold, silver, or precious stones and all the rest of it. It's the things of the world, not the things of Christ. But every human being has a religion. But today in Jesus Christ, it's not a religion, folks. It's a living faith. It's a living walk. Yeah, it's not dogmatic. It's not going through rituals or anything else. But today I ask you, is Jesus the Lord of your life? He's where it's all at. He is the God with the capital G. I know it should be like this for you. He is the one. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. It's exclusive. And God told Israel early on, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Anyway, today, the church at Pergamos. By the way, it's recorded in history that the altar of Zeus, some of the most religious people in the world back in that era, false religion, were the Greeks. Greeks were big on mythology, idol worship, you name it. They were as worldly and wicked as you come. Why do you think Paul wrote two letters? He actually wrote more than that. The one is not canonized. Why do you think he wrote those letters to the people at Corinth, which was in Greece? Because he had a battle on his hands there. The people did get saved, but they still wanted to have touch with this stuff that was going on with idolatry. And Paul had to address that. But this was a center for idol worship in this place called Pergamos. Interestingly enough, not one of those churches remains today. They ebbed and flowed. There may be works, probably small, in the nation of Turkey. There might be believers in these areas, in these cities. But those churches that were addressed here by the Apostle John through Jesus no longer exist. Churches come and go if people allow Jesus to be removed from them. It's that simple. Every one of us here today that has an interest in the work of Christ and comes here and gathers at Fruitland as a believer, we have a reason to see this work not only maintain, but strengthen, because it's for Jesus. Anyway, the church at Smyrna. I'm going to read this and analyze it. We'll see if we can get through these today. And here's the writing. Some of you heard me teach on this last week. The angel, I believe every church has an angel. Some have tried to say that through the years it's the pastor. Well, you know that's not true, because look at your pastor. Enough said. And under the angel, by the way, thank you, Jesus, for giving us a guardian angel over this church. Because we can't do it. And under the angel of the church in Smyrna, write, "These things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive." That's Jesus. "I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but you are rich. And I know the blasphemy." Wait a minute. I'm not on the right church. I'm in Smyrna. How'd you let me do? I thought I preached on this last week. Don't let me do this, Lynn. The church at Pergamos, verse 12, Revelation 2:12. "And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, These things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges." By the way, you have that in front of you today. The Word of God, the Word of Jesus. I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. Kay, you didn't know what I was preaching on. Kay's not here right now. She didn't know what I was preaching on today, but what she brought to us this morning hit right on. Even there at Pergamos, there was a truth speaker, and his name was Antipas. And did you notice what happened to Antipas? Antipas from Pergamos. I'll keep these names all straight. He was martyred for speaking the truth. By the way, God gave them credit at that time, and for people like Antipas that stood up and spoke the truth. But let me tell you something, you might lose your head if you speak it. But speak it in love, and speak it nevertheless. If the church is not grounded in truth, you might as well close the doors. It's got to be grounded in the truth. But, like always, verse 14, Jesus says, I have a few things against thee, because thou hast them there that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel. You recall what that was all about? And a donkey. A dumb donkey. Do you get what I'm saying? Dumb means unable to speak. By the way, there's a lot of dumb donkeys. But the donkey had to speak because the people wouldn't listen to God. Balak, the false prophet, in it for the money. Crooked as the day is long, he laid a stumbling block to eat things sacrificed unto idols and commit fornication. By the way, what's talked about here is not necessarily sexual fornication, but spiritual fornication. How many of us today can say we have spiritually fornicated? We don't need to answer that, but we do to the Lord and to ourselves or others that we need to let that be known to. So there was a problem there at Pergamos. There was good things and there were problems. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. And we saw that earlier, which Jesus says he hates. And those, again, the Nicolaitans, there's not a lot known about it, but they're false prophets, false teachers. God hates the crooked stuff, the snake oil salesman. By the way, he doesn't hate them, he loves them, but he hates the things they do. We have to see that, folks. The church is always going to be a place of volatility because there is going to be that warfare that goes on there between Satan and the Lord. And it involves people. And so, you know, we need to have seatbelts in these pews because we need to buckle our seatbelts because it's a rough, turbulent thing. The church, over and over, turbulence in it. It's going to be that way. Jesus then tells them, repent. You remember what that means. Turn around. Or else. Kim and I, how did we get in? We had a discussion last Thursday. Well, Kim wasn't there with the Bible study in Wilton about rearing children. By the way, there will be some messages on that from the Scripture. I try to preach on everything. I admit to you, I was not a perfect parent. Someone asked me in that study, how do you feel about corporal punishment? I said I used it rarely. Mrs. Brown can speak for herself on that. But I think when it comes to that, that's the end of the line. You know? Kim and I were just talking this morning. I think maybe two or three times on all the kids except Julia. I don't think I ever used any of that on her ever. Kim will have to tell you if she has things to say. But Jesus is basically telling Pergamos, you see it there in verse 16? Repent or else I'm coming quickly. And I will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. By the way, Jesus mentions that several times to these churches when he's telling them. He says, I'm coming quickly if you don't get it together. Churches will be snuffed out. We learned it last week. Their candles will be put out. And it's going to happen fast. And by the way, don't mess with Jesus' church. Because when you mess with it, you're going to mess with him. That's a warning. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. All right, here's Pergamos. Jesus' condemnation was spiritual fornication in the center of idolatry, worldly sin and culture and compromise. Is Fruitland Baptist Church compromised? Yes. There is always going to be a problem to remain with the standards of God in a culture like we live in. A culture that is hell-bent away from Jesus Christ is going to have some signs of that in his church. We need to get back to the Scriptures and see what it says about how we conduct ourselves, how we deport ourselves, how we operate as Christians. We need discipleship, but I can't see that people want to come for it. There's opportunities here at Fruitland. At least four things a week. And I'm not chewing any. Only God can chew. But we can get closer to God. You don't have to come here, but that is here for the taking. People aren't interested because we're compromised. And they accepted false teaching and did nothing to stop it. I don't necessarily know that there's false teaching here at Fruitland, but I know this, that most churches today have it, and there's not a lot done about it. But it needs to be dealt with. Now the condemnation. Jesus liked Antipas. We went over that, but here's what he said, the corrective action then. He said, listen, in every case, listen to Jesus. Repent, or Jesus will come quickly to destroy those causing a stumbling block to him and his work. And that's why I say, beware today, whoever it is. But he also gave the encouragement, those that overcome will be blessed of God. Those that overcome will be blessed of God. Now, moving on, church at Thyatira. By the way, I could tell you a lot about these churches. They line up with the different eras of the church through the church age. In other words, when we look at Philadelphia, that was the church that people my age and older remember, that was filled with missionary zeal. I can't tell you the last time someone at Fruitland came to me and said, Pastor, we need more efforts in missions. Beginning locally, but as Jesus commanded in his Great Commission, outside and further outside, Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. We don't have that zeal. It's not important. We are living in the Laodicean church today, but we don't have to be. We'll get to that eventually if I get there. The church at Thyatira, some of you may not agree with this, by the way, that's why the fence is here. The church at Thyatira began around the era of a guy named Constantine, but really kicked into gear in the 400s. It's called the Roman Catholic Church. It lines up with that. Let's look at it quickly here today. Revelation 2, 18 through 29. Am I here to bash the Roman Catholic Church? No. But I'm here to tell us that this is how things have been going through the ages, the ebbs and flows of the church. And folks, parts of what is going on here in the church of Thyatira are going on at Fruitland. Here it is, chapter 2, 18 through 29. And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. By the way, that's one of the things that got Johnny's attention on Patmos Island. That's your attention getter we looked at last week. I know thy works and charity and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works. What's big about the church at Thyatira? Works. By the way, we are called unto good works after we've been saved, but prior to works, we are not able to work our way to heaven. It is only through the completed work of the Lord Jesus Christ that we are able to enter heaven. Verse 20, notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which called herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication, spiritual again, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. The false teaching Jesus hates. We need to as well. But it even goes further than the teaching. It has to have something to do with the teachers. Say it, Kim. Pastor John. Yeah, thank you. Verse 21, and I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and the hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. The great white throne judgment. By the way, the saved are going to be at the judgment seat of Christ, not to be judged on their entrance to heaven, but judged again for crowns and rewards for what we've done as saved people. But this other judgment, the great white throne, Jesus has got the books. The people are going to come up and say, Jesus, I need to get into heaven because I did. And Jesus says, you're not in the book. You brought yourself to a point now where you are going to go to the lake of fire because you tried to do it your own way. Danny, what did we learn yesterday in Bible study? Someone brought it up. It's the difference between Cain and Abel. Go back to the beginning. Abel brought a sacrifice acceptable to God. Why did he know that? Because he listened to God. But Cain brought an unacceptable sacrifice to God because he did it his way. And that's the difference, folks. Our works won't save us. Verse 24, but unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden. By the way, let me just say this. There will be Roman Catholics in heaven, I believe. But it'll be because, listen to me carefully before someone goes out and says this, they didn't accidentally get saved. There are no accidents in God's program. The Lord saved them, but they were saved because they believed by grace through faith. They may not have come out of the wrong team. By the way, there's people in all kinds of churches that might be in heaven. And there's a lot that might have been in good Bible preaching churches that won't. Anyone want to take this yet? Kim, well, we'll try again here. I got to be careful what I do. There we go. Is it going off again? No, it's in good shape. All right. Where do we end up here? 25. But that which you have already, hold fast till I come. God always says, maintain the good and strengthen it. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, that being Jesus, in the millennium. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father, and I will give unto him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. By the way, the morning star is the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther or John Wycliffe, the fathers of the Reformation. Martin Luther understood this. He didn't get it all right, but he found out we're not saved by works. We're saved by grace through faith. And he was a Roman Catholic monk, and he withdrew. He didn't get it all right, but he made a lot of strides. And there were others of the reformers. That's what that's talking about, folks. But here's the condemnation of Pergamos. Help me, Thyatira. The works of man are emphasized. False teaching is allowed. Lack of repentance, meaning a what? A hard heart. Headed for tribulation or trouble, and its offspring is headed for death. The next church is the Reformed Church we're going to talk about, and it is the Church of the Living Dead. And that's what Jesus was trying to tell the church at Thyatira. Your offspring, including the ones that stay in this teaching, and even what come out of it, are cooked apart from me. Now here's what he told Thyatira to do. Not all were wrong in the church. Praise God. No more burdens except one thing, to hold the faith. That's what he's telling us today. You don't have to have programs. You don't have to have all that. You need to hold the faith. Sure, programs are a part of that, but that's not what makes the church. If you don't have a core of biblical teaching, and by the way, I've got to back up again because last week, and I forgot, before I taught anything else, I said two things. We must love God and love one another. And if that isn't the underpinning of the whole thing, not going to work. That comes before what was taught to these churches. Jesus taught it before, by the way, too. He said, not all were wrong. No more burdens, but to hold fast and to be overcomers. Strengthen the good that remains. Listen, repent, stop false teaching. Out of your wrongs will come the Reformation. And that is the Church of Sardis. So that's the one we're going to go to next here. This is what I call Reformed theology, not the Reformed Church in general. By the way, there are two distinctive things that separate us from Reformed theology. And I want to tell you this morning, I am a this is how I identify myself. I am a Bible-believing Christian that identifies with the Baptist heritage. The trail that people that are known as Baptists come from that stood for the truth of the Word of God and against apostasy. They're the rebels. They're the ones that got their heads cut off or were burned at the stake. Anyway, the church at Sardis is the Reformed Church. This is your mainline Protestant churches in America. Even some churches that claim to be Bible-teaching churches ascribe to many of these things. The two main things that I would separate over them with is baptismal regeneration. In other words, your baptism is how you're saved or has a part in it. Wrong. The only baptism you're saved in is the Spirit of baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that's an automatic given by the Lord. And the other thing is sacramental salvation. And that's that you either literally eat the body and blood of Christ to be saved, or it becomes the body and blood of Christ to be saved. Hogwash. It's a memorial. It has nothing to do to save you. Only Jesus can save you. And that's why I can't ever get... I can go all the way with a lot of what some of them teach, but that's where I'm done. Anyway, that's me. You'll have to make that choice. But I tell it like it is. Anyway, Sardis. Let's read about it. And under the church, angel of the church in Sardis, write these things, saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Notice the works again there. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. In other words, Sardis is a living church that is dead. By the way, we're looking for things here about our local congregation known as Fruitland. About 15 years ago, some of you remember this book? If you can't see the title, Autopsy of a Deceased Church, Thomas Rainer. Still have it in my library. No one's looked at it for years other than me. Many years ago, I circulated copies of this at Fruitland. Some people read it and said, Pastor, it's right on about Fruitland. Others said, we don't want to look at that book. We're not a dead church. The book yet exists. Fruitland yet exists. I caution us to explore some of the things this man has written, because Jesus is telling us right here, churches can be alive but dead. That's all I'm going to say. You have the choice. It's an easy read. An average reader could knock this out in a few hours. But it'll knock you out if you read what it says. Remember, Jesus says in verse 3, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief. And thou shalt know what hour I will come upon thee. Not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. And they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. By the way, in all these churches, there's a few that had it right. But you can go and look at Reformed Protestant religion today. It exactly meets this criteria. Thou hast a few names, he says. He that overcometh, verse 5, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. But I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. By the way, there's two books of life. There's the book of life of everyone that's been born, but the Lamb's book of life is the book that records everyone that's been born again. All the people that have lived and never been born again in Christ, they're going to be blotted out. Jesus wants your name in that book today. And it can be had today by trusting Jesus. It's that simple, and calling upon him. Telling him, I'm a sinner. I admit it, Lord. I need you. And I believe that you were there for me, and you're just one call away. Any of you ever woken up in the night and called out a name? Occasionally I do it, and I say, Kim. And sometimes she bolts up and says, What? John? Oh, it's crazy at our house. It is in yours too, if you'd admit it. But I want to ask you, have you ever bolted up and said, Jesus, I need you. I'm telling you right now, Jesus, for me, I need you. I've been born again, but I need him. And you do too, if you'll admit the truth. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So here it is. The church of Sardis was a church of hollow works. It was a church of the living dead. It was alive but spiritually dead. It was going through the motions, but it was ready to die. Jesus said his commendation and his corrective actions. He said again, listen and be on guard, be watchful and strengthen the good that remains. Remember the original foundation. It's Jesus. Not only churches in the Protestant side are folding up in droves today, but some Bible-believing churches are as well, and it is a threat to every one of them in our era. But folks, what you'll find in much of that type of circle and others, it's even in our circles to an extent, the foundations were built upon the building and the stuff that's happened in that church. And you go look at the stained glass. That was my great-grandfather. They gave $20 to the church. But you know what? They're dead as a doornail. And no one's been saved in them for years. No one's been baptized. What more can I say? But Jesus told them, you will be kept from the testing if you will hold fast, and if, excuse me, I'm on the wrong one here. Jesus will come as a thief if he is not the foundation, and if they are not watching, there are a few that are still faithful, and for those that are, be overcomers. Wherever you come into this today, are you an overcomer? One more church, we're not going to make it today. We're going to go to the Church of Philadelphia, and I believe it warrants one day for the church at Laodicea. I think I could preach on that for a whole Sunday easily. Probably could a whole day. But the last church we're going to look at this morning is the Church of Philadelphia. Philadelphia was a church that was blessed of God because they were a blessing to God. Smyrna was under persecution, and God saw that. They loved the Lord. They stood for the Lord. They got their heads chopped off. But Philadelphia didn't have that happen. Philadelphia was the church that had the zeal for God, and there was no condemnation by Jesus Christ of Philadelphia. Philadelphia was the church that if you're 50-plus years and older, it's what you might remember remnants of. It's when the church was excited about missions and evangelism. And it had a major presence, not only in the United States, but overseas in missions. I mentioned here on a Wednesday night a while back, when's the last time you saw a missionary or a vocational person in the ministry go from Fruitland? And who will be next? I could be like some of the charismatic preachers, but you know what? You're all on the mission field, or should be. You remember what it says too. You point at someone, you have what? Kim always reminds me of that. Let's read about Philadelphia and we're going to go for lunch. And verse 7, chapter 3. And unto the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. That's who we need on our side. In the center of our group is Jesus. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door. By the way, this is the only church whose works were not condemned. Why? Because they were works of zeal for Jesus Christ. These things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the keys of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door. I like that name for a church, by the way. You've heard me say before, I've made mistakes in my life when I didn't walk through an open door that Jesus opened. You dummy, John. When Jesus opens a door, walk through it. Jesus gave the church and churches like Philadelphia an open door. I say this, it's because people stop walking through the door that the door's been closed today. Jesus doesn't force people. By the way, when we get to Laodicea, Jesus is on the outside of the church. There's no doorknob on the outside. Got to be careful. I knocked with a fence there. He wants to get in. It's up to them to open the door. He gave them an open door, and they shut it on him. Behold, I will make them... Hold on. Yeah. I know an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength and hast kept my word. Jesus is saying there, even when we think we have strength, it's of little account. It's all him. We have a little strength. That's it. And hast kept my word and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews, and are not. They were attacked, by the way, by various things that Satan threw up that Jesus called the synagogue of Satan, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. And yes, folks, I believe this is a rapture passage. And again, as another evidence that the church that is the true church of the Lord, that has zeal and that will be working for... By the way, we can still be Philadelphia today. Amen. Do I think we are? No. We're Laodicea. We'll see that when we, next week or whenever we get to it. But we can be Philadelphia. I will keep thee from the hour of temptation or testing, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. We should have never allowed ourselves to get in a position where we separated from Philadelphia. And I'm telling you, most of the churches today are a long way from Philadelphia, even the ones that ascribe to Bible teaching, because we've lost our zeal. It's take it or leave it. Pastor's late today. It's time to go. Not maybe. There's a purpose to hear what else he has to say. To him that overcometh. And by the way, he says, I'm coming quickly. He doesn't give you a lot of time to fool around with this. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. By the way, we have a new name when we receive Jesus Christ. He that hath an ear, let him hear. I could go on and on about this, what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Here it is. Philadelphia, no condemnation. He saw their work and their church life together for him as a positive before God. Can you say that of Fruitland today? Something to think about. It was a church that was grounded in evangelism. It was a church that was grounded in discipleship and missionary zeal. And some of us that are older remember some remnants of this because it is largely now past. But as I said earlier, it does not have to be. It can come back today. If what? If people want it. Now the commendation and corrective action. There was no commendation to the church at condemnation to the church at Philadelphia, but there was a warning. God said, "It's my open door. It's spiritually based good works that it produces. It's kept from the testing," which I mentioned to you before. "Jesus will preserve it. He will take it out." And he says this as a warning. He says, "Hold fast and continue to overcome." And last but not least, keep listening to Jesus until the end. Well, we're going to come back to Laodicea next time, but as I mentioned last week, well, as you can hear and see, and by the way, if anyone wants to look at this, I'll loan it out again. You know, I'm getting along in my time. A lot of the books I've loaned out have never come back. I don't really care. That doesn't mean I don't want it back, but hey, if it takes you 5 years to read it and you're going to read it, keep it for six. Well, as you can hear and see, but by the way, this does not trump this, and this tells you the same stuff, but it's from God. This is an author, but he's got it right. Well, as you can hear and see, Fruitland and most churches have many traits of injuries and unhealthiness. The front of this church should be full. By the way, some people came forward last week. Don't say that you haven't been warned or don't know how to regain health and see injuries healed because you heard it today from the doctor, Dr. Jesus. And I do believe this, that God can and will preserve Fruitland. And I believe that we still have a precious work here that is Jesus' work. So take heed to what the scriptures say. Because if it doesn't go that way, we could sing it, "Hide it under a bushel, it'll be gone, and you will not get it back." I still believe God can and will fix it, and the question here is, if we'll go to Him, He will. Do you believe that? Amen. Let's take our hymnals and stand if you're able. 531. Again today, this is a time of introspection. Maybe this isn't even about you per se, but if it's about the church, if it's about the lost, the missionary zeal, the desire to love people and to reach people, if it's about discipleship, if it's about whatever your life, if it's about salvation today, folks. By the way, you are not a part of God's church if you're not His child. I don't care about memberships, any other. That's where it's at. If you've been bought by the blood of Christ, you are a member of His church in the universal sense, but we also need to be actively engaged in a local church that's visible and that can work together and have Christ at the center. All kinds of things, but again, I plead with you today, if you're apart from Jesus Christ, He's coming quickly. Today's the day. You don't have to come forward, but I'll tell you what, it's a day to do business with Jesus. Have you got time set aside for that today? But if you want to make it public and you want to come and visit with me or others gather here, that's what the fellowship of the church is about. We got to help each other. Serious business. 531. "I know not why God's wondrous grace to me He hath made known, nor why Christ in His boundless love redeemed me for His own." By the way, that's a question there.
But I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Can you agree in your heart today with the chorus of that song? Have you believed in Jesus Christ? Have you believed his word? We're going to sing it one more time. I'll tell you what, if you're concerned about your soul, if you're a Christian here though today, concerned about your part in the Lord's work, if you're concerned about Fruitland Baptist Church, this is not the day to walk out the door. It's the day to say, I'm on the line here. I'm committed because Jesus committed to me. But I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Thank you for your good attention. It's not too late to come up here. Lynn and I are going to have a little fellowship right now, aren't we? Yeah, I'm going to ask the deacons once again to dismiss the congregation today, and I'm going to ask Doug Chatfield to close in prayer. Have a great afternoon in the Lord.